This is The Stark Truth, hosted by Robert Stark, brought to you by StarkTruthRadio.com. Robert Stark is an American journalist and political commentator. You can listen to his podcast at www.StarkTruthRadio.com.
I'm joined here with Lucas Jansa Van Vuren. He's the youth leader for the Cape Party in South Africa. It's an independence movement for the Cape region and an advocacy of Cape independence as a whole. Lucas, it's great speaking with you.
Cool. Thanks so much for having me.
Lucas, can you give us an introduction to the background of the Cape Party, the geographic regions seeking independence, the specific states? It's just the Western Cape and the Northern Cape, and then also the history of when the party was founded and how you got involved.
Yeah, sure. So the Cape Party was founded in 2007 by the current leader, Jack Miller. And in 2008, it was officially registered with the Independent Electoral Commission as a political party in South Africa. In terms of the geographical area seeking independence, our aim is to initially first gain independence for the Western Cape province. The most well-known city there is Cape Town. And following independence for the Western Cape, additional areas, including the Northern Cape and some municipalities in the Eastern Cape and Free State provinces, will also have the option to join. Basically, the method how that will happen is by referendums to the municipalities or local regions there, and then if the residents of those areas want to join, we will give them the option to do so, and it will obviously be a democratic process.
Does the Constitution allow for an independence referendum?
Yes, definitely. So not only does the South African Constitution allow for self-determination, it also doesn't anywhere specifically prohibit secession, and there's multiple legal minds and so on who have commented on this, and you can find more information on that on the websites, Cape Independence websites, and we can also go the international route, international law, but at the end of the day, it's not a problem for us. There's no problem like Spain has with Catalonia, so. Yeah, we definitely can do Cape Independence following a legal route. It's not some kind of a treasonous thing here.
And when was the Cape Party founded, and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so it was founded in 2007. Personally, I saw a few articles in the media now and then, and at the end of 2019, I saw another one, and I was just... I kind of saw it as a new hope, because things in South Africa haven't been going the right way, and I still love the land here, my language, my people. So seeing something to give me hope, I wanted me to do something to actually make the idea happen. I wanted to be part of it. So yeah, I signed up, and I've been with them ever since then.
So yeah, there was a recent crisis in South Africa, looting and violence in the KwaZulu-Natal region. Estimates of over 300 people died in this crisis. And if you want to comment on the recent civil unrest and the overall impacts, disruptions of supply chains, taking into account just overall impacts of the pandemic, and do you expect expect there to be like a greater, like, longer-term economic aftermath, political aftermath? And would you go as far to say as South Africa is a failed state?
Yeah, so some initial estimates stand at there's more than 50 billion rands in damage, which is mostly in the KwaZulu-Natal and southern Gauteng provinces. So Gauteng is where Johannesburg, the biggest city and industrial hub, is located. And KwaZulu-Natal is where the port city of Durban is located, which handles around 60% of all of South Africa's port capacity, so imports and exports and so on. And this amount is equal to around 10% of the KwaZulu-Natal regional economy and is a massive setback in a province with more than 60% of adults living in poverty. We can compare that with the Western Cape, where only around, it's still a high figure, but only 33% of adults live in poverty. But luckily, the unrest is mostly limited to KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, so the Western Cape has not been affected too much by it. But we expect indirectly this will naturally affect the economy of South Africa, revenues of the national government, and will probably reduce the allocation that our province gets for funding. So we can expect less funding as a side effect of this. I would say that if you look at the prime functions of a state, then yes, South Africa is a failed state. I can't really see any function actually not failing except for the revenue service, because at the end of the day, the ANC, which is the governing party, needs money to steal, of course. Just a joke, but it's kind of true. From uncontrolled borders to a failing healthcare system to some of the worst educational outcomes in the world, massive violence and crime. I can't really honestly say that South Africa is not a failed state. And then long-term political aftermath, I think it will be interesting to see how this plays out, because the ANC have dropped the ball, but they have been failing for almost 2 decades now. And I'm not sure whether we will see a big drop in the votes for them. They're currently still above 55%, I think. So we're going to happens in the next elections, but we'll speak about the elections a bit later.
The crisis does vindicate the cause for Cape independence, and even though the region was less impacted and has been relatively stable, so has that increased the amount of interest and publicity for the independence cause?
Yes, definitely. You can definitely see a spike in interest for independence. Not only in the Western Cape, but also in KwaZulu-Natal, the most affected area, and in Gauteng as well. You see a lot of people who have now been materially affected by this violence and unrest, who look at the Western Cape as a safer and more peaceful place with more opportunity. There's also lots of small towns, rural towns that are quite quaint and cute and a lot safer than the higher density metropolitan areas. And there's a lot of interest in both migrating from those areas to the Western Cape, and also for these people being affected to actually emigrate out of South Africa. I think a lot of people have seen or read about violence and crime. Many people have been affected, but this has definitely been a nightmare come true. So we can expect a lot of people leaving the country. In terms of interest, we'll speak about the growth and interest of Cape Independence, but you can definitely see a lot of articles, a lot of interviews, a lot of people are now actually questioning whether or not South Africa should remain the way it is now. A lot of people who were critics previously are kind of seeing the light a little bit more now. So yeah, it's definitely been unfortunate, but good for the independence movement.
Do you expect to see like a slide towards authoritarian under one party rule with do you expect to see proposed policies like land confiscation as a result of the crisis?
Well, I wouldn't say it's as a result of this, but these policies, basically the most scary one of all, is expropriation without compensation. So this is a policy that has been quite a lot of talk about it, and it's actually passed legislation. The ANC, which is the national government now, and then the EFF, the Economic Freedom Fighters, is a extreme left-wing party. and both of these support it. And the goal is basically to expropriate land. They don't explicitly define what they mean with land or property. And yeah, they're going to take property that they feel would benefit either the state or their voters, and not be, they wouldn't have to pay any compensation for that. Another crazy policy that they are pushing through that has also passed, and that is now in, they've finished the planning phase and want to start implementing it, is called the National Health Insurance Plan. So they want to basically change from our dual medical system of both private and public to one where there's a single fund which the government controls, which is very concerning in a country with our level of corruption. It does not inspire a lot of confidence, and many, many medical professionals are considering immigrating as well because of this. So yeah, the government is actively pursuing policies that are authoritarian in terms of people not having a choice, in terms of the government gaining more power, gaining more authority. And at the end of the day, as a normal citizen, there's not going to be much that you can do to fight this.
How much estimated support would you say is there for independence based on polling, and on, are there other regions of South Africa that are looking to break apart?
Okay, so there's a few independence organizations, be that now political parties or civic movements. So the Gay Party itself has got its members and support. But let's look at, I think the most scientific one was the Cape Independence Advocacy Group did a poll in August of 2020, which showed that 36% of the population support independence. So that's more than 1.1 million of Western Cape, of the Western Cape voting population. And this is a province of around 7.1 million people. Most of these people are either of a colored, which is like a, you could probably compare that to the mulatto people, like colored or black ethnicity. White people are only 13% of the population. So it's interesting that this is not a white movement. This is a multiracial movement.
Oh yeah, because you said
non-racial movement.
It has been it has been falsely smeared as that.
Definitely, definitely. So that's why I bring it up. At the end of the day, if you don't agree with a cause or a movement or something, many people just resort to ad hominems or slurs, slander. But the numbers just disprove this. Most of the people who support this are not white, and the people who will benefit the most from Cape independence are not white people. They are the poorest people who will benefit from an actual growing economy, from less crime, from stability, and from more opportunities for everyone. So another interesting thing is the party that is governing the Western Cape is the Democratic Alliance. So this is the only province in South Africa that is not controlled or governed by the ANC. And many will say that this is why the Western Cape is doing better, and I can definitely agree with that. It's the only province where you actually have positive financials for municipalities, and where the National Auditor General gives clean audits showing that there's not a lot of wasteful expenditure or corruption. And the majority of the Democratic Alliance voting base actually support Cape independence. So looking at the poll that they did, I'll just go through a few of the questions. It's very interesting, actually. So 73% of respondents said that they feel South Africa is going in the wrong direction. 70% of them said that minority race groups are being treated unfairly. 68% said that the provincial government should be given more power. And 53% of people now believe that the quality of life will improve with independence. And then 47% of people already support a referendum on independence, and then 36% of the population want independence right now. So it's already a good indication that there is good support. It's not a fringe movement. and this organization recently secured enough funding for their second ball, and I'm very excited to see the results of that. Then looking at another organization, it's called Cape Exit. They have garnered more than 800,000 official registrations that indicate support for independence. Another independence organization is the United Liberty Alliance. They have around 455,000 supporting registrations. And then if you look at the Cape Party, it's a small party, so they don't always contest every ward or every municipality when it comes to elections. But looking at three of the recent by-elections in 2017, the party actually gained second place after the DA in the Brackenfell ward, which is a ward in Cape Town. In 2008, they also took part in by-elections in the Saldanha ward, which is on the western coast of the Western Cape, around Langebaan, Saldanha, and they also got second place ahead of the ANC, just behind the DA. And then in 2019, in Sea Point in Cape Town, which is an affluent area, the party also took second place after the DA. And in the coming elections, which is supposed to it's supposed to take place in August this year, but there's talks of postponement to the first quarter of next year. But we're awaiting possible court cases, or there might even have to be a constitutional amendment for this postponement to take place. So we're quite unsure what's going to happen. But the Cape Party is preparing to contest as many wards and municipalities in the next, in this coming local government elections. The next important elections for independence, I think, would be the 2024 provincial and national elections. That would be a very good show of provincial support for independence. And with that, it would be like a type of mini referendum showing support. So yeah, I'm excited for that as well.
The next major election, is that in 2024? So is that a referendum, or that's a parliamentary election?
Yeah, so the next one, 2021, 2022, that's the local government elections. And then 2024 will be the provincial elections. Which is, in my opinion, a bit more important to show support for independence for the whole province and not just for a ward or a town here and there.
And what are your thoughts on the economic, political benefits of independence? Is the primary cause about being the region being economically robbed, or would you say culturally and as far as civil liberties as well?
Yeah, I would say all of these you mentioned would significantly improve with independence. If we look at economy, okay, so the Western Cape economy is currently larger than those of Namibia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe together, which are a few countries that border South Africa. And the Western Cape has a land area of 130,000 square kilometers, which is like larger than South Korea. It's the size of England. Has a population of 7.1 million people. So this is around 11% of South Africa's population. And the Western Cape economy is the size of 14% of South Africa's economy. And then the national government of South Africa only allocates at 10.1% of the total provincial budget allocation, meaning that in effect, the Western Cape province and its people are subsidizing the rest of South Africa. The moment we get independence, we will have much more money available to us, because it won't be leaving the province every single year going to other provinces run by the ANC, which are notoriously corrupt. So in terms of economics, we definitely benefit. Many respected economists, one I can name drop, Russell Lamberti, has said that whichever problems there are with independence, financial viability is not one of those. So economically, we can expect that we will do better. We will have the resources to allocate to addressing the problems we have and to improving the lives of our people. In terms of political, so the Cape Party specifically supports or advocates for a more decentralized system where it's kind of based on the Swiss system, where towns and regions have more power and can decide.
The Swiss Canton model.
Yes, yes. It's kind of something we want to base the Cape on, especially because we are such a very, very diverse, not only in terms of geography, but also in terms of people, in terms of religion, ethnicities, cultures, languages. So it would be best for people to not be dominated by the strongest group. This cantonal type of system, it's more like distributed power, will allow people to be able to develop their communities, to play to their strengths, and to address their weaknesses. In terms of culture, I would say that quite disappointingly, culture has diminished over time with not only economic stagnation, but also money is not being correctly invested into things like universities, sports, cultural things. One example is that the Afrikaans language, which is the majority language in the Cape, around 70% of households in the Cape are Afrikaans first language. Used to be an academic language. It was one of only a handful of languages that developed from informal to a formal academic language in the last century, and it's at great risk for actually devolving away from that to not being able to study in Afrikaans anymore, not being able to write scientific articles in Afrikaans anymore. The last university in the Cape that actually offers things in Afrikaans, Stellenbosch University, is being targeted by lots of left-wing and CRT groups trying to remove Afrikaans completely. And
Is
they
that
say
with
that
the
this will
CRT, with the influence from CRT, is would you say is that growing rapidly because of what's happening in the United States?
definitely, I would say that what happens in the US, unfortunately, many times is imported to South Africa. I mean, the problems of racial tensions and these types of things in the US, where black people are a minority of around, what is it, around 13%,
Yeah, 13%.
is being imposed on a country where the black population is 80% and white people are around 7%, colored people are around 8%. So it's kind of strange seeing that this type of oppressed minority narrative is being transplanted here, where the majority are actually in control of almost an hegemony of political power in terms of economic power. I would say that it's a fact that the middle class, there are more people, there are more black middle class people than there are white people in South Africa. So it's very disturbing having this kind of strange situation where a minority is being treated as if they are an oppressive majority. So, that's something that I would want to see change. I would want to see us focus on our own problems and find our own ideas on how to solve them, rather than importing, I would almost want to say, damaging or unconstructive types of ideologies from America and other countries. I don't know if that, I hope that's not offensive, but it's definitely not a good thing in my opinion.
And I would say the same with California, with both California independence and the United States as a whole. Like United States is so polarized, and I think that with both like political polarization and issues with race relations, the idea of like a canton model where each, I'm not sure like with Switzerland if it would be like the equivalent of a state or a county, but on like on a smaller unit. Like grant a more decentralized sovereignty could solve a lot of those problems.
Yeah, definitely. I would go so far as to say that even neighborhoods should be able to decide for themselves, because at the end of the day, there's this concept that a lot of people speak about. In Cape Town, they say it's the spatial legacy of apartheid, and it basically just refers to a type of I wouldn't say spontaneous, non-spontaneous segregation in American cities as well, where an area is predominantly black or predominantly white or predominantly whatever. And you can see this in Cape Town as well. There are areas where the Cape Malay Muslims are majority, or areas where there's majority colored, or English white people or Afrikaans white people. So whether it's good or bad is not really up to me, but if these neighborhoods and areas could have power over their own governance and finances, I think that would go a long way into better representing what the people care about. Less conflict, more power to the people. And you can see this in a lot of South African cities. I mean, very concerning in this recent unrest in Durban has been a lot of racial tension between the Indians, the Indian community in Durban, and then the black communities in Durban as well. Even now on social media, there's a lot of trends. The trend Phoenix Massacre, where there's a lot of fake news and things going about black people in Durban thinking that Indian people in the suburb Phoenix in Durban defended themselves from looters and so on. And now a message is being
so there's explicitly a target of racial violence against the Indian community?
Yes, yes. So there's been, and this has happened before in history, there's been riots like this before where Indians have been targeted. So I'm very concerned about that, to be honest. It's not just a black and white tension. I mean, there's tensions between many of these groups. And I think a centralized government will only, it basically precipitates this or makes it worse. I think definitely the decentralized way would be, like the cantonal way, would be a way to allow people to focus on what they want without having to consult other communities, without having to be dominated by the biggest or strongest group anymore from another. As it is now, our policies and our economic policies and regulations and so on, all of this is being enforced upon the Western Cape by a bunch of ANC politicians in Pretoria, which is in Gauteng. And I would rather want to see Cape Town people deciding what must happen to Cape Town, Stellenbosch people in the Cape deciding what must happen to their town, and so on. And I can see that I've heard that Californian secessionists also feel the same. I mean, they don't want Washington at the other side of the country to decide what happens in California. I think the world is moving a bit more towards this direction as well. You can see that the number of independent countries has steadily grown over the years. And I suspect that's just going to continue on into the future.
And I also wrote about, about decentralization. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but I have a Substack article, California's Future of Panenclavism, where I kind of talk about the similar decentralized canton model, but on a more neighborhood basis.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I really like that idea, and I really believe it'll be good for not just for California as well, but for the Cape specifically. Like, that is my vision for it. I believe that would be a fair and natural way to improve things for the different communities.
So the Cape region, it's much more economically dynamic. As far as securing natural resources, what are the situations with water rights? It's a much more arid region. And then also mineral resources, and the mining industry is huge, but would that be a loss to lose out on the mining industry in the more eastern parts of the nation?
Yeah, I think most of the mineral wealth in South Africa is outside of the Western Cape. I mean, there's a lot of gold deposits, lots of coal deposits, and many of the major rivers and other resources are not in the Cape, but we do. Similarly to California, I have this kind of great valley of fertile land where we have a great wine region, lots of agriculture, and we actually produce most of the country's agro-processing products. So we also have great coastline. So I suspect that if we do some exploration, we might find gas and oil off the coast of the town Mossel Bay in the Western Cape. We've already found gas. So going independent won't mean we won't have access to resources. It will just not be the same as the ones that South Africa have now. We can go into fishing. Interestingly, though, I think our wealth doesn't really just lie in the land. It's our people. And the Western Cape has now actually developed the leading tech hub in Africa. There's a great financial tech scene going on, and people can look it up. It's called the Silicon Cape. it's very, very optimistic. I would want to see us not just move into a more developed primary economic sector, but to develop high income jobs for our people so that we can actually uplift people and not just sit with low jobs like I don't know, like farming and mining and so on. Yeah. So we have a lot of opportunity going up, but I think to make the most of it, we would need to invest into a few things, critical infrastructure, education. We need to focus on the health and education of our people and provide a safe and stable environment, which is sorely lacking now.
There was a video in support of the Cape Independence movement I helped craft from Yes California. If you want to kind of comment on the video and then also the similarities besides the shared California values and the political angle, just overall like similar climate, geography, and also just kind of remarkable. Just looking at photos of the region, like remarkable, like so much of it is practically indistinguishable from California.
Yeah, it really is. I want to say, like, I am grateful. Like, I never expected people from so far away to also have such an interest in what's going on with us, and it's great seeing the same ideas kind of being propagated on the other side of the world, especially in a place as strangely similar as California and the Western Cape. I mean, I would say, like, look at it from a more like use your imagination and think about it like this. Like, it's been a land of opportunity, right? California has had the gold rush. The Cape is also a place that many people from South Africa and Africa and the world like to go to. It's like flock there for opportunity, for the great lifestyle, the beautiful outdoors, the wine, surfing, nature, hiking, sports. It's very multicultural and diverse. There's great food and culinary, great culture, the innovation. You know, you guys have the Silicon Valley. We are trying to develop our Silicon Cape. You have the great movie industry, and Cape Town has also been investing heavily into building up their filming studios and industry. So I can see a lot of similarities, and I would hope that both of us, both of our people, can gain our independence, can gain self-determination, and can make it the country that we know our people actually deserve, like reach our full potential.
And Lucas, do you want to plug the website for the party and anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, with the way the currencies work, South African rand is quite weak and the dollar is very strong. So for anyone who wants to, we definitely welcome any donations. You can, there's a few interesting things you can buy from next to a novelty Cape of Good Hope passport. Please visit capeparty.com. Follow us on Cape Party as our tag for social media. Then also the other group doing great work is the Cape Independence Advocacy Group. Their website is capeindependence.org and their handle is Let's Free the Cape. Yeah, they're mostly active on Twitter, Instagram, also. An eye out. We are definitely growing really quickly, and yeah, I just wish the best as well for California and thank you for the opportunity. Cool. Thanks, Robert.
Lucas Jansi Van Vuren, great speaking to you about the Cape Party. Thanks for being on.